I want to talk this morning about God's Word as a map to our lives. But I want to start with a story. This is a true story, by the way. A number of years ago, I lived in Abbotsford, and my son Mark lived in Vancouver. And every once in a while, Mark and I will get together and do things together. And we decided that we would go camping. At that time, I had a motor home. And so he came out to Abbotsford, and we loaded it up, and we drove up to Manning Park. And in Manning Park, there's a number of lakes. They're called Lightning Lakes. And after we got settled in the campground on the next day, we discovered that you can rent canoes to be able to go onto the lake. Well, we decided that we were going to be very big explorers, and we got a canoe, and we decided we were going to make it to all three lakes. Well, we went across the first lake, and that took us quite a while, and then we had to portage from Lake 1 to Lake 2, and so we decided, we got out of the water, and I took the bow of the canoe, and my son took the stern, and he was on one side, and I was on the other, and we discovered that we were too wide to get through the trees. So we decided, well, what we would do is we'll turn the canoe upside down and put it over our shoulders. And so I was in the front, and he was in the back, and we started to do that. But also, we discovered that the trees were so close together that when we tried to follow the path, we got wedged in between trees. Well, we had to figure something out, so we decided to make our own path. So we stepped off the regular path and tried to walk through the brush and so on. And as we walked along, I was leading, and Mark kept saying, "Do you see the next lake?" I kept lifting the canoe up, and, "No, not yet, not yet." And we kept walking along. And then finally, I lifted the canoe up, and, "Oh, I see water." So we headed for the water. So we got into the second lake, and turned the canoe upside down or upright, and went canoeing on that lake. Well, by this time, we're getting kind of tired. So when we got to the other side of the lake, we stopped and we had lunch. And we had taken a lunch with us. And then finally, I said to my son, he's always younger, of course, than I am. But I said, "I guess we better head back." So we got in the canoe, and we headed back. Well, as we headed back, we had lost ourselves in the lake. I mean, we had come off the dry land into the lake, but now that we're coming in the lake into the dry land, we couldn't see where we had come off the dry land. I said to Mark, "I think we're lost." He says, "Yes, Dad, we are." So we got the canoe up to the dry land, had no idea where we were in regards to it. So anyways, I said to Mark, "Let's try to find the path that's supposed to be here." Well, we looked around. We couldn't find anything. So I said, "Well, let's get the canoe." And we hoisted it up on our shoulders again and started what we thought was the right direction. Well, we got lost. Here's these two guys carrying this canoe over our heads, trying to find the original lake so we could get back home. Well, finally, as we're walking along, we see bits of a path, but when we got onto the path was windy, and we couldn't get the canoe around between the woods, between the trees. And so finally, as we worked our way, and as I say, we were lost, but we did finally find the original lake. So we came to the conclusion that portage means, it's a French word, that means two crazy men carrying a canoe through a forest lost. That's what that means. Well, we finally got to the lake, the original lake, and we got across it and got to the area where we had rented the canoe, got out and went in to pay for it, and discovered that they had little maps we could have taken with us. You know, being the typical men that we were, we knew where we were going, but we didn't. We need a map of trails. We needed a map of trails so we wouldn't get lost. But you know, it's same with life. We need a map to help us guide us along the way, the trails of life. You know, unfortunately, many Christians try to make it through life on their own, with very little direction. In fact, they get involved in things like YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and the internet to get direction and leading for life. But God has given us the perfect direction, and that is His Word, the Bible. I want to begin by saying this, that I believe that this is the inerrant Word of God. There's no mistakes. There's no contradiction in it. What God has said, God has said. And it's important for us to come to understand that this is the Word of God. There's a lot of chatter on the internet regarding the Bible. For example, I picked a couple of headlines from the internet that I was looking the other day. One of the headlines was, "The Lord's Prayer is Problematic." I don't know what they mean by that. Another one is, "Old Testament has nothing to do with the New Testament." Now, that person has not read the Old Testament, because the Old Testament begins in Genesis 3 talking and prophesying about the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, right from Genesis and right through. The Old Testament is prophetic about Christ coming to the earth. And then there was another heading, is God is non-binary, he's queer and autistic. I got thinking about it, and I wonder how many Christians read these things and begin to believe with all their heart that that's true. The so-called experts are challenging the Bible and claiming it not to be the true Word of God. There are even church leaders and pastors who are doubting its validity, teaching that it is not the errant Word of God and that there are contradictions in it. So today I want to show through some scriptures that God's Word guides us on our journey of life. C.S. Lewis writes, "One road leads home, and 1,000 roads lead into the wilderness." Any long trip requires a map to guide along the way. The Bible is our map for life. We are merely travelers, sojourners on the earth. I had that open and my Bible fell down. Psalm 119, it says, verse 19. "I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me." We really are a stranger here. God has put us here, but we need guidance as we live here on this earth. As we study God's Word, we learn that the best route to follow along is through the Scriptures. What do I mean by that? Well, if you want to know what's going on in life, you need to know what God says about it. What does God say about marriage? What does God say about relationships? What does God say about money, for an example? How many of us struggle with money and don't realize that God has laid out a plan in the Bible for us to deal with our money? He gives us a way to be saved and live the Spirit-filled life. How to deal with pain and disappointments in life. All of these things that we deal with in life are laid out in Scripture, and God has given us direction on how to deal with it. By the way, one of the things is suffering. That's a biggie. lots of people have wondered why God allows suffering. And there's a reason and a purpose behind it. There's a reason why God allows suffering. It's not to punish us, but as to bring us into a better relationship with him. Lewis Carroll said, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And so it's important for us to follow God's map, or we can go on our own way. It's amazing how many Christians don't really take time to study and read the Bible. The one reason why is, well, I don't have enough time. One of the things that I was challenged as a young man was I used to think that I didn't have enough time because I was so busy. And I was challenged by the fact is that, well, for every hour of television you watch, take 10 minutes and read the Bible. Well, I realized that I was watching a lot of television and reading very little of the Bible. And if you take your television watching, and now it's computers or it's phones, iPhones, take that and turn it into something reading from the Bible, then God will be able to choose to direct you. We can choose to follow God's map, or we can go our own way. Now, let me just throw some scriptures at you this morning and try to challenge each of us to see how the Bible leads and is our map to life. First of all, in Deuteronomy, it says, be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you to do. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. The Bible is our moral compass, and it gives us directions and alerts us to wrong directions in our lives. Look at the morals of our society today. I'm old enough to remember when the morals of society didn't seem to be quite as bad as they are today. An illustration was given a number of years ago to me is this: the world is here and the church is here. And what is happening is the morals of the world are going like this. But unfortunately, as the morals of the world go this way, the church is paralleling it. And we've got to remain true to God's word as a church, as a body of believers. And then in 2 Timothy, we read, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Bible is God-breathed and Spirit-inspired. Some man didn't come along and decide to put this all together. By the way, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the Bible covers 1,500 years of history. There are 66 books in the Bible, and there are 58 authors of those 66 books. And the Bible begins by the prophecy of Jesus coming and ends by the second coming of Jesus in Revelation. It flows. There isn't a book in the world that covers that many years with that many authors that is that right in regards to it. And then 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Bible is God-breathed and Spirit-inspired. It's not man-inspired, it's Spirit-inspired. Yeah, yes, it's been written by men. But the question is, who is inspired, the men or the message? And I believe they both were, that the man was inspired and the message that he gave was inspired. God was speaking through that man, that writer, that author, to bring to us the truths of God. It convicts us when we get off course and corrects our wanderings. We stay within the boundaries of his blessing when we read the scriptures. Try taking the power out of the scripture. The scripture has power in it for our lives. I don't know what you're struggling with today. All of us struggle in some way. But it's comforting to know that God has an answer for that struggle. It's finding it and reading it and following it and being obedient to it. And then the Psalm 19:130 says, the revelation of your words brings light. The Bible is the light of our journey. Without his light, we cannot see our way. We need his light to shine forth in the darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. When I was studying this and looking at this, I'm realizing how important light is. A number of years ago, when I was pastoring in Cottage Grove, Oregon, I was also chaplain of the police department. And I was a uniformed chaplain, and I would go out and patrol at night with the other officers. And one night, we got a call. We had two cars on the road that night, and the first car was chasing a drug dealer. And that drug dealer went flying through town and hit a logging road and followed the logging road and got stuck in the logging road. There was a great big puddle, and as he tried to go through it, the car died. Anyways, the police car was right behind him, so the guy that was in the drug car bailed out and headed into the darkness of the night. We were the second or the backup car, and we got there just a few seconds later as the officer from the first car was trying to catch the guy in the dark. As we stopped, because I was an alien in the United States, I was not allowed to carry a sidearm, but I was trained with the shotguns in the car. And as the officer got out of the car, my car, he pushed a button and a shotgun sitting in the front popped out. I grabbed it and he jumped out and started chasing the other guy. And I stood there to protect the cars. Now, I don't know what I would have done if somebody had come up to them, but what I was saying is that it was so dark, and yet the light from the police cars lit everything up. And we could see into the bush, and they caught the fellow who was the drug dealer and brought him back and arrested him. But I was grateful for the lights on the cars, is what I'm saying. And that's what the Bible is. It's a light. It's a light in our lives when things are dark around us, and we wonder how in the world are we going to see, and God gives us light through his word. And then when in John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The Bible is God's revelation to us. The Holy Spirit illuminates his word for us. This is interesting because there's a lot of talk about what is truth and what is not. And society teaches us that what is truth for me may not be truth for you, and what is truth for you may not be truth for me. And so more and more this is being taught. There has to be some beginning point for truth, and that's God's word. That's God's word is the beginning of truth. And God's word doesn't change in truth. Society changes in truth. Satan changes truth. By the way, do you know what Satan's other name is? It's liar. Because all that Satan says to us are lies. And when he tries to bring darkness but turn it into some kind of light, it's a lie that he tries to manipulate in our lives. And then it says in Psalm 19:7, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The Bible is our source of wisdom. We need wisdom for our journey, to discern the right road to follow and to not be waylaid or distracted. It's so easy to be distracted in life, is it not? By the things that we watch, by the things that we hear in this modern technology age. There's all kinds of stuff that we read that can mislead us in our lives. And God's word is wisdom. God's word gives us the direction and how to deal with life. One of the things that when I was preaching on a regular basis in my church in Victoria, I remember making this statement. Now, I'm preaching and I'm encouraging you, but I don't want you to go out and quote me. I want you to quote God's word. And that's what I want you to do today. I want you to quote God's word, to look at God's word, and to check what I've said in regards to what God says. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says. And so God gives us wisdom to know what to do. And now there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. We can all gain knowledge. We can all go to school, or we can read a book, or we can study, or whatever the case might be, and become knowledgeable in a way. Wisdom is how to deal with life. If we come up with a decision and we don't know which way to go, God's wisdom helps us to know which way. You can read books and you can go to school all you want. You'll never gain a lot of wisdom. You'll gain a lot of knowledge. True wisdom only comes from God. How do I know how to deal with a situation? How do I know whether I should or shouldn't do something? How do I know what is going to be best for me or for my mate or for my family or whatever the case might be? That's what true wisdom is, because God tells us how to live life. And then in Psalm 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." The Bible is God's best route for us. Following His life, His map, will restore our soul. He leads us to places of rest, refreshment, and joy. Sometimes we try to take the shortcut in life, and sometimes it gets us into trouble. One of the things that's important for us to realize is that God never does anything fast. That may be news to you, but He doesn't. Have you ever prayed about something and then said, "Okay, Lord, I've prayed about this situation, and I accept the answer maybe by supper time, or I'll wait till morning"? No, God is very slow at answering sometimes, but He's always faithful, and He always answers. The hardest part in life is to realize that God does always answer. He answers yes, or no, or wait a while. Those are the three answers that God gives us. So if you're praying about something, don't get impatient about the situation. It reminded me of a time when I left a full-time pastoral ministry and I was working in the movie industry. I was working on a series, the fact is it was for Disney, called So Weird. And it had to be for Disney because it was so weird. And we had a hiatus, and we had 10-day break between shooting. And so Shirley, who was my first wife, we decided that we wanted to drive to South Dakota and see all of the things along the way. On the way to South Dakota, well, in 10 days, you don't see much in 10 days. And we found ourselves driving into a location and saying, "Okay, we saw it," and then jumping back in the truck and taking off again. We got to Mount Rushmore. We did to get to see that, we appreciated. We got to see Boot Hill and Deadwood City and all of those things that maybe you've seen on TV. I don't know what. But it was really a fast trip. And I thought to myself, man, that's life. It seems to be such a fast trip. We're in a hurry. We're in a hurry. We're in a hurry. And God says, whoa, be still. Be still and know that I am God. He didn't say run and find me. Be still and know that I am God. You want to find God? Sit down, turn everything off, and listen, and you'll find Him. But you see, we get so busy in our lives that we just don't seem to have time to do that. And then finally, John 5, 24, it says, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." The Bible is the map to eternal life. We study God's map to find out where we are and where we want to be and where we will end up being. Salvation comes through the Word of God. That's how we get saved. That's how we know about Jesus Christ. It's not through osmosis. You can't sit in your living room and say, "Okay, Lord, lay it on." You've got to read what he has to say about it. And then in closing, Isaiah says, "I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go." The future of our journey is unknown. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I was thinking about Barb and Eric. When they went, they got up that morning, had no idea that they would be standing outside a burned-out trailer. We just don't know. But we can know what we need to know now and today. We don't know what's ahead of us, but God has given us a roadmap for our lives. And when we follow his divine map, the Bible, on our journey of life, we will safely reach our heavenly destination. My brother, I have a brother who lives in Calgary. He is a fine Christian man. And he used to wear a button. And on this button were these initials, GSIIBITATI. And he would wear it to work. He works for an oil company. And people would say, "What in the world does that stand for?" You know? And he says, "This is what it stands for. God say it, I believe it, and that's all there is to it." And that was his way of opening an opportunity to share with others. God's desire for us is to know his will and his way. He loves each one of us unconditionally. And he cares that we would follow his way instead of our own way. How many times have we followed our own way in life? And yet the interesting thing is that even when we get ourselves into trouble, God is always willing to help us through it and to guide us. So I want to challenge you, if you don't spend time in God's Word, reading the Bible every day, that you take that time. I'd encourage you. There was a time in my life before I went to Bible College where I thought that I was too busy to do that, until God helped me to realize that there was no way I knew what I was doing or where I was going unless I was in the Word, studying and reading and listening to him. Now, you don't have to understand everything. I don't understand everything. I'm a pastor and I don't understand everything, but I believe it. And if God said it, I believe it, because that's the Word of God in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you that that's the way you speak to us, the first and foremost and initially, is through your Word. Lord, help us to be disciplined, to take the time to read and to just meditate upon what you have to say to us. You have something wonderful for each of us, Lord. And so I pray that we would be challenged this day to go forward with that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jerry.